Hi, I'm Kevin Turner, and welcome to this week's Realty Talk show. We share expert opinion on this year's market conditions from an analyst featured in the Bricks and Mortar Media Annual Property Market Forecast Report. Now, this time, Bushy speaks with buyer's agent, economist, property investor, and CEO of award-winning buyer's agency, Property Buyer. He speaks to Rich Harvey. That'll be first up in today's show. But before we start, I want to thank our supporters and content partners, Realty, EMT Tax Depreciation, Know How Property Finance, Get Rare Property, and Hero Marketing. And if this is your first time with us, welcome. You're going to find us on all podcast players and through the Southern Cross Oz Stereo Network. And if you like the show, please hit the subscribe button to help us to continue to bring you the best guests every week. Don't forget too, you can join the conversation anytime on Facebook. You'll find us at the Property Hub Collective. Back in just a moment to kick off this week's show.
Property deductions can save you thousands of dollars each year. To make sure you maximise deductions, you need to work with the most experienced quantity surveyor in the country. BMT Tax Depreciation is the leading specialist in the industry. They've completed over 700,000 tax deduction schedules for residential investment and commercial properties Australia-wide. BMT guarantee to find double your fee in the first full financial year deductions. Call BMT on 1300 728 726 today for an obligation-free quote.
Realty Talk and your host, Bushy Martin.
Now, as the post-pandemic hangover starts to fade into the distance and property conditions continue to return to semi-normal, ad hoc and out-of-sync fluctuations across the country, property movements have continued to vary considerably up and down the east coast of Australia. So to get a first-hand view from the front line on what's happened and what's likely to happen with property on the eastern seaboard, we're joined by Rich Harvey, a leading buyer's agent, economist, property investor, and the CEO of award-winning buyer's agency, Property Buyer. So welcome back to the show, Rich.
Great to be on the show again with you, Bushy.
Always, mate. Love having a chat to you. Now, Rich, before we sort of delve into the future, I'd love for you to just recount how you felt property performed against your expectations last year and what, if anything, varied and why.
Yeah, 2023 was a pretty challenging year in the property market. I think the biggest factor we saw was interest rates peaking, and we saw a number of interest rate rises. Every month it'd come by and we'd get another letter, love letter in the post from our bank saying your interest rate has now risen 0.25% and here's your new repayment. So, you know, the word cost of living kept getting overused, a bit like COVID did, and that really put the brakes on the property market. So it really was a challenging year in that regard, but we really saw the cash rate, you know, top out in sort of around May after 13 interest rate rises. We're sitting at 4.35%. And, you know, there's still speculation it'll rise, but there's no way it will. You know, absolutely hand on heart, there's no way it's going to rise any further because inflation's going in the right direction now. So the impact on the property market, as I said, we saw the end of price corrections. And in fact, we actually saw price growth. And what was really interesting was an interesting economic phenomenon that we had rising rates and rising property prices, which only happens a couple of times every few decades. It's not a normal sort of economic scenario that comes in that regard. But I think one of the reasons, Bushy, it happened was simply because of the massive migration wave. We had 510,000 migrants come to our shores, the biggest influx since World War II. So we really saw that that was just going to boost demand for property, both rentals and for buying. And as we know, we're in a rental crisis right around the country at the moment, not building enough stock. So, you know, big supply constrictions, construction costs are still high and they're up there. So it's tougher to build. We're not building enough properties, but we'll touch on that as well in a moment. But I guess the key thing that we should be looking at too, you asked about what the performance was last year around the capital cities. And I think just to recap on that, we saw Perth really lead the stakes out of the blocks at 16.7% last 12 months. We saw Brisbane rise 14.8% and then came in Sydney 11.4%, Adelaide 10.3%, and Melbourne surprisingly 3.9% and Canberra down at 1.2%. Darwin and Hobart both went back just marginally. So pretty mixed bag of results. But again, I would say to any investor out there, don't go and pick your capital city or area, regional area to buy in purely on the basis of last year's results. You know, you've got to look over a 10, if not 20 year period. I've been doing this for 25 years and I've learned a lot of things along the way, made some mistakes. And it's really important to not just follow the herd. Use the data intelligently, but particularly you learn to use some local drivers. And we'll talk more about those in a minute.
Yeah, beautifully said, mate. And I just think what we saw last year is just a further reinforcement of the fact that property isn't a one-trick pony when it comes to the types of dynamics that impact on it. You know, there was a media link between interest rates and property values, which has yet again proven to be wrong. And as you quite rightly say, it's the long term that people need to be looking at when it comes to property, not just what's happened in the last 12 months. And it's those key growth drivers that are going to continue to put pressure from a scarcity perspective on locations. And, you know, as you've very well evidenced there, the variability in performance over that 12-month period from state to state, which has its dangers as well when you aggregate at that level, it certainly tells a story in terms of the fact that there is no one property market, which the media would love you to believe there is. And that's the very opportunity that presents itself for investors and property buyers who are...
Well, I think you can look at the market generally, but you've also got to then drill down at a granular level to a suburb and even within streets. But I think, so just to recap on last year, I think the word is resilience. We saw a very resilient property market, and we're going to continue to see very strong resilience and further growth as we go through into 2024. And I think a lot of people sort of want these perfect conditions before they buy, before they'll invest. They want this, you know, absolute smooth waters for sailing. But at the end of the day, if you're going to become an experienced sailor, you've got to go out in the storms, right? You've got to leave the shore and take a bit of a risk, right? Yeah. But we know with property, it's a good calculated risk that you're going to do well if you hold and buy well at the long term.
Extremely well said. You've touched on some of this already, but projecting forward now over what's likely to happen in 2024, what's your read on the likely performance along the eastern seaboard?
Yeah, well, particularly on the East Coast, we're seeing it's a strong momentum already building. I mean, now coming out of the blocks in early February is when the agents return to work and we're seeing listing volumes significantly spike. I think we're going to see some strong momentum and steady growth this year. I don't think it's going to be crazy like, you know, the FOMO that we saw during COVID, but there's definitely going to be a building of momentum. And rates are going to start to fall in the back half of 24. I'm predicting the first rate cut will be either August or September. Yep. I think it's fully priced in by financial markets for September, but I'm tipping if inflation gets down under control, they will do one drop in August. And we've still got consumer sentiment sitting around 80 basis points. So with consumer sentiment low, you know, that's a drag on the economy. So not a lot of people have got spare cash to spend. So I think the next 6 months is pretty amazing opportunities. If you're a savvy investor or savvy home buyer, and you want to get ahead of the wave, ahead of the curve, I'd be buying while interest rates are still high, but there's opportunity to buy in. And we're actually seeing reports of a bit more motivated slash distressed selling. Not majorly distressed, but certainly people going, you know what, I actually can't afford to hold on to my property. I'm going to sell it. And you also got a lot of investors that are sick of the taxes that the government keeps imposing on them, particularly in Melbourne, where the stupid land tax has been introduced. So we're seeing some good opportunities coming up to buy well. But I think overall, I think Sydney's going to be a really solid performer. And I think Melbourne's going to be good. And Brisbane, definitely very strong performer longer term.
Yeah, Brian, as a born and bred contrarian, Rich, it's windows of opportunities like we're sitting in right now that often produce the best fruit, because if you're getting before the herd, you can just ride the wave. So there's some very good opportunities for those that are in a position to take advantage of it. Rich, what are some of the key drivers that we need to be watching out for that are likely to influence, particularly the eastern states, given your expertise in that area over the next 12 months?
Yeah, I guess I've got seven to actually share with your audience today, if I may. And I think the number one, I've already touched on migration and the impact on that, but that's going to outstrip housing supply. So the government set this very ambitious target of 240,000 homes per year, 1.2 million homes. I personally, hand on heart, they won't achieve it. So that has massive implications for the eastern states in the sense that there'll be continued rental shortages. Vacancy rates sub 2%. I mean, they're sitting at like 0.7, 0.8 in Brisbane at the moment. Really, really low. It's around 1% in Sydney and Melbourne. Really tough to get a rental. I mean, my son just tried to get one, unfortunately got one, but really tough at the moment. So we're going to see undersupply continue to fluctuate. We're going to see, secondly, interest rates are going to reignite demand. As I said, as soon as the rate cuts are more sort of locked in, you watch consumer sentiment start to rise. Even though it's still costing more money to borrow money, you just see the confidence factor really coming back into the market.
Yeah.
Thirdly, I think we're going to see affordable locations see very, very strong demand. So affordability is going to be one of those key drivers of demand for people deciding where to live, where to locate, and have their lifestyle. We're seeing a
What are
strong.
you just jumping?
Sorry.
Sorry to interrupt the flow there. What do you consider to be affordable, Rich?
Well, I guess it all depends on your income.
Yeah.
I mean, Sydney's median house price just hit 1.6 million. Melbourne's just over 1 million. Brisbane's about 870,000. So it's all relative. I mean, if you're on an income of 70 grand a year, you probably can't afford to live in Sydney when you've got three kids. It's pretty tough, right? So it's all relative to income. So I think, we're seeing to live in Sydney, you need 11 or time, sorry, 10 or 11 times income to just get an average mortgage. So what I'm saying, that dynamic is going to push people into the more into the sort of outskirts of the cities and into the bigger regional towns like Geelong or Newcastle or Sunny Coast. So that's going to have an impact on demand in what I call more affordable locations. So that's that one. I think number four, I think the total other end of the scale of the prestige market is going to remain very buoyant, very resilient. We help clients who've got budgets of 350 grand right through to people 30, 40 million. We help quite a spectrum, but we're seeing at that top end of the market very strong demand from expats, local buyers, Chinese and Asian buyers wanting to get their slice of paradise. Whether it's a mansion in Toorak or a waterfront, beachfront in Sydney or riverfront in Brisbane, we're seeing that's very, very strong demand because there's very limited supply of that stock.
The cashed-up boomers are having a sort of increasing impact as they switch into that phase of life. Are you seeing that have any impacts at that end of the market at all, or others?
Absolutely. That was going to be my next point. You must have read my mind. The baby boomers, absolutely. Baby boomers and Gen X that are looking to downsize, the kids might have just left home or been out a couple of years. They want a sense of community, but their house is too big. So they're definitely going to see them really be a cashed up force and difficult to compete against if you're a first or second home buyer that's trying to get up the ladder and you've got these cashed up downsizers selling those for multi-millions. And so that's going to be a real dynamic in the market. And I guess my last two points in terms of things to watch is rents are going to continue to increase, but they'll stabilize. I mean, rents went up, around 10, 11% last year. I think they'll probably do on average 8%, but that hides a lot of averages. You might see in some areas rents go 13, 15%. So the trick to being a smart investor is not to go too hard on the yield, but to get the right sort of capital base as well. And I think lastly, I think you're going to find that the savvy investors are going to really start to cherry pick the best areas more quickly. The investors will be in a little bit sort of shy, but I think they're really going to come back as interest rates decline, and therefore they can borrow more. They'll be a force to be reckoned with as well.
Yeah, beautifully said. Now you've touched on some of this already, but as a flow on from that, what are some of the important areas and sectors, both good and bad, that we need to be watching out for in 2024 then, Rich?
We'll start with the bad. Let's again, hobby horse, stay away from spruikers and stay away from mining towns. One trick ponies. Used to get so many emails. I'd speak at these expos, and all these people said, "Rich, you've got to buy in Karratha, right? You've got to buy there or Port Hedland, and you can get a 15% yield, right?" And they're selling these little dongles for like $1.2 million. Anyway, 3 years later, they've dropped in value by half to 600 grand, and they can't sell them for love or money, right? So, obviously, stay away from what I call very poor opportunities. We have very limited economic opportunities in far-flung regional areas. Having said that, there are some really good regional areas to buy in. And some of the towns that we're targeting are places like Townsville, Mackay, Bundaberg, or Bunbury. I mean, particularly like Townsville, it's got five pillars to its economy. Very well supported. You can still buy a house there for under 500K. Great lifestyle, great for bringing up families. So,
Just on
Newcastle.
that, sorry to keep interrupting
Ah,
you
please.
there, but you've just sparking some thoughts because I've seen a number of people who have sort of growing concerns over the potential impact of extreme weather events, particularly in far north Queensland. And yes, economically those areas are booming, but and insurance companies are starting to get a little bit tentative now about some locations within that vicinity. What's your thoughts around that, and how much does that need to influence decisions if someone's buying a property for 15 years or more, do you think?
Yeah, great question. Well, I guess I wouldn't be buying 10 properties in one of those towns, I guess. I mean, you've got to spread your risk around, right? So, I mean, I've got a property in North Queensland up near Airlie Beach, and it costs me about 2.5, 3 grand for insurance. It's a bit more than obviously my other properties, probably a grand more. But I'm getting a great rental return. So I know that that extra little bit I've got to pay for insurance more than covers it. But I make sure I've got cyclone and flood and all the other types of insurances to manage that. So I think just the key point there is don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know, don't go and buy 6 properties in Moranbah, which one idiot investor did many years ago and end up going bankrupt when the whole town turned, you know. So just be careful who you get advice from. Make sure you buy the right quality property in those towns. But to your point about other areas to buy in, I think Melbourne has definitely got some really strong legs. It's been a real underperformer in my view. And not just saying it that because it's underperformed, but there's often a reversion to the mean. So what I mean by that is it's been an underperformer. If you look at Sydney, Melbourne particularly, it's averaged around 7.5% over the last 20 years. Right now, if Melbourne did 3.1% last year, it's going to grow. And there's a lot of migrants continuing to flood into Melbourne. Great cultural communities there. A lot of old money also looking for a home. So, and Melbourne's got a great eclectic mix of housing, you know, from the Bayside suburbs right through the inner city trendy areas, Fitzroy, Carlton, you know, right through to the sort of more affordable areas in the northwest. So again, there's definite opportunities there to buy. Another pick would definitely be Brisbane. Rapid interstate migration, a lot of people moving to the sunny coast and the Sunshine State, I should say, to get a better lifestyle. And the Olympics coming in 2032, the bit of an icing on the cake. But every time I visit there, I live in Sydney myself, but every time I visit Brisbane, I go, wow, it's a real happening hip city. It's really coming alive. So it's great. Also, equally, the Gold Coast, right? You know, we love the Gold Coast. You go there for holidays, you live there, you feel like you're on holidays every day. The only challenge is infrastructure, keeping up with population growth, right? Because the M2 becomes a bit of a car park sometimes when you're trying to get home from work, right? But yeah, we're seeing very strong infrastructure growth. You've got the light rail going through and the extra train lines going through. So I think that's definitely a definite pick. And yeah, I still look absolutely Sydney, Central Coast, and Newcastle. We're seeing, you know, there's good, there's a lot of people sort of rubbish Sydney as an investment, but you know, I've got a number of properties in Sydney, all exceeded my expectations on price growth. And getting great rental returns as well. Equally, as prices move up, you get the Central Coast buyers and the Newcastle buyers. Again, only an hour and a half from Sydney, really strong capital growth for those areas over time. So that'd be my opportunity areas I'd pick.
Yeah, some pretty good opportunities. And as you mentioned earlier, it's all about price points. So where it's a matter of defining what your affordable price point is. And then with the assistance of someone like yourself and the property buyer team, then finding the highest growth and best yield opportunity within that purchase price power. So switching now, Rich, love your thoughts on any sort of surprising or potentially wildcard elements that may have an impact on property in the eastern states this year.
Yeah, I think probably the biggest one would be the continuing impact of work from home and remote working. I think that's a lasting legacy of COVID, and every business owner is having to grapple with this in. You know, do I insist my staff come back in 5 days a week, you know, or do I have a working from home policy? And how does that impact on the property market? So I think a couple of things I'd say is that people are now thinking more broadly about where they can live, how they can keep their jobs and contribute positively within a company. And that has an impact on the property market. So people will go, you know what, I can actually raise my family in this location when I thought I'd be here all my life. Secondly, the type of property people are buying requires more functionality. So it's not only just a place to sleep and have recreation, but it's a place to work. So now we need studies, we need extra working rooms, and it might be husband and wife or partners need separate studies. You might need 2 extra rooms, right? So we're seeing a lot of conversions of garages or building of granny flats or that sort of thing, particularly on people's wish lists going forward as another impact on a lot of these markets. So again, that also builds in opportunity. If you can find a property where you can add a granny flat, do an extension, convert a garage, put a carport, all those things can add value to the way you do your investing.
Yeah, I'd love to jump in on that point because there's sort of almost conflicting opinions from a lot of players in the in the property space at the moment, because I hear one side of the camp saying, well, family sizes are getting smaller, therefore smaller properties are going to be high demand. On their flip side, I hear about, well, look, more work from home, we actually need more flexibility and adaptability in spaces that we can use for to work and other things. And maybe there's a locational factor to this, but I'd love your commentary around those two, given that they appear to be conflicting in some degree. What are your thoughts, Rich?
Yeah, well, okay, I'll start with our developer clients. We're seeing some of our high-end developer clients that we find sites for building four-bedroom apartments, right? They're building beachfront apartments with four bedrooms or big penthouses because they want that sense of having their kids potentially stay, friends stay over, and they want to replicate living on a block in an apartment. And they're a massive premium for those properties. So as much as we might say, oh, people want smaller properties, to be honest, the reality is no. People want as much bang for their buck as possible. So it just comes down to construction cost at the end of the day and what people can afford. So I think there's scope for everything, but don't believe everything you read in the papers or the media, right? And we know that. So you look at the reality of what the demand is and how it's going to perform. So I think, you know, people want space, you know, we've always got too much stuff. We always need bigger storage cupboards, right? You know, you need to do a Marie Kondo course every day, every year, get rid of stuff, right? But look, yeah, I think to your point, I think the demand for all of those properties will continue. Definitely be still demand for the smaller size properties, again, driven by affordability. And we're seeing some pretty clever use of space now. People are building multifunctional rooms. That's both a guest room and a study, or pull down beds, or drop down desks, or slide out cupboards. All sorts of things can be done to maximize space. And again, they're in good demand as well. So yeah, again, it is very location specific as well.
Yeah, and I think you make a point. It's knowing what's the right property profile for that particular location and that particular demographic. And if you're an investor, doing the homework with the assistance of you know, very experienced property buyers like yourself, who can actually put some shape around that. So rather than take this blanket approach, which some of the players in the game and the media like to talk about, it's looking at, okay, well, what's right here and now in this location, and how's that going to perform over the long term? So beautifully said, Rich. To sum things up then, what one word do you think best describes and captures what property conditions are likely to be in the year ahead?
Oh, that's putting the hard word on me. One word, mate. I'm going to give two words, opportunity and growth. Okay. But yeah, if I had to be one word, it'd be opportunity, but opportunity and growth. I think both of those factors will occur in 2024. As I've said, I've outlined all the reasons what's driving the market. But at the end of the day, for anyone out there watching this, I think buy when you can afford. Like, we all feel this pressure. I've got to buy now. I've got to buy now. Well, look, you don't want to back yourself in a corner and regret buying. You've got to buy when you've got your pre-approval, know what your numbers are, then you know what you've got to play with. But I think a lot of it comes down to mentality. A lot of people are afraid to pull the trigger because they've got fear. They're worried, or the relative said, oh, be careful not to over-leverage, and, you know, or the market's going to crash, and, oh, it's all a big Ponzi scheme, and, you know, like all this rubbish that goes on. So my advice to everyone is do your research, don't follow the herd, get in an independent advice and find someone you can trust and work with that person longer term. But I think also don't consider the market as one market. As you've alluded to, there's multiple markets within markets and very different results for properties depending on where they're located within a suburb as well.
Yeah, beautifully said. I 100% agree, Rich. I've always said it's never about when you should buy, because you should buy every time you can afford to do so if you're serious.
Well, I tell you, I mean, just a quick anecdote. I mean, year before last, I got some good borrowing capacity and I went and bought three properties that year, you know, and one of them was building a granny flat, and I was able to build actually a three-bedroom granny flat, which you may not have heard of.
Wow.
94 square meters under roof. So I've got a third bedroom, which is giving me about a 6.2% yield on the overall property and the house in front. So what I'm saying is I got that approval. I used it. The following year may not have had such a good building finance approval. So when you get that approval, as you know, it's last 90 days, you can recycle it, but use it, because that's one of the key things that I think people don't appreciate, how quickly time moves on. You know, you'd be having your 40th, 50th, 60th birthday before you know it. And meanwhile, all that capital growth's in the past, right? So why not enjoy the ride?
100% agree. And it's always about what you buy and where you buy, not when you buy. I believe if you're serious about protecting your future long term. So as always, Rich, really love the insights you've shared with us. And I want to thank you for the very hands-on projections that you've shared with us today. I guess before we close, it's very clear from what you've shared and having a good read of your BMM forecast for this year that clearly upgraders, downsizers and expats are likely to continue to impact property conditions along the East Coast this year. And it's also very clear that this chronic shortage of rental properties in many areas is likely to persist for quite some time yet. But there's very fertile turf for smart investors in that. So look, Rich, I want to thank you for that. And for those that are listening in, if you want to talk more with Rich and his property buyer team on how they can help you in New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland. I think beyond that now with parts of WA and far north Queensland as well, Rich, I encourage you to reach out to Rich and his team at propertybuyer.com.au. In addition, if you want to grab a full copy of Rich's forecast along with all of the other industry leaders' predictions on what's likely to happen with property right across the country this year, then make sure you grab yourself a copy of Bricks and Mortar Media 2024 Property Market Forecast Report by clicking the link in the show notes so you can make much better informed decisions. And finally, if you've got any further questions, queries and comments on property direction this year, let's keep the conversation going by joining us on the Property Hub Collective Facebook community, where you're going to be able to rub shoulders with in a circle of safety with a very rapidly growing tribe of like-minded property players and proven property professionals. So just click on the link below. Keep watching and listening to the Property Hub tomorrow. And thanks again for your time on the show today, Rich.
My pleasure. Thanks, Bushy.
Hi, just before we go back to the show, I want to spend a few seconds and tell you about a book that was sent to me that's now become my go-to reference when I'm looking for inspiration about property investment. You know, sometimes it's not about knowing all the answers. It's certainly more important to know what questions to ask. This book by Rasti is called The Property Wealth Blueprint. And it's one that you don't read just once and then put it away. It stays out as a reference. It's a book that you go back to time and time again, as I do, because it's packed with personal experience and with great examples of how to get property investment right. It's very frank, it's to the point. And as you can see here, I've needed to bookmark several points, and I can tell you that it's a constant companion on my desk here. The remarkable thing is that it's absolutely free on Rasti's website, getrare.com.au. Get Rare, it's a gateway to a richer life. The website there for you again, getrare.com.au. So get this book, get it for yourself.
Realty Talk exclusive to the Property Hub.
You know, when properties are failing to sell, serious sellers start to ask the question, why isn't my place selling? At the end of the day, it comes down to three basic reasons: price, presentation, and marketing. So let's deal with all three of these. The first one is price. A young agent once said to me, who I used to work with, everything sells, it just comes down to price. There's a buyer for every property. You know, he was right. In fact, there is a buyer for every property, even properties on main roads. But at the end of the day, it comes down to price. And you've got to make sure that your price is right. So make sure that your agent's given you good information so that you can set a realistic price. The second point is presentation. Good presentation will sometimes help a moderately overpriced property sell, but a well-presented property, priced and marketed well, is going to create a lot of competition in the marketplace and possibly may even get you a premium price. And the third point is marketing. You know, there's a saying in the industry, you can't sell a secret. You need to accept the responsibility to pay for some marketing in your property. It gives you control over where the marketing is done and what it sounds like and what it looks like. So take responsibility, sit down with your agent and go through these three points, price, presentation and marketing, and ask your agent to be as frank as they possibly can. Make sure your price is right. My experience is that the presentation will always be right. These good sellers always take good pride in their property and it is presented well. And make sure you're doing marketing. Take some responsibility for the sale of your property. You'll soon see that it'll turn around and sell. All the best.
Successful property investment is a game of finance. Do you have the right team and the right game plan? Realty Talk is brought to you by Know How Property. More than mortgage brokers, Bushy Martin and his team of investment architects set you up with a sustainable strategy structured to lower your costs, tax, risk, and stress while increasing your capacity for growth. KnowHow has helped over 1,900 homeowners and investors secure more than $800 million in property wealth. So get set to live more, work less, and live your legacy. Want to know how to invest in your freedom? Visit knowhowproperty.com.au. This is Realty Talk, powered by realty.com.au.
Well, that brings us to the end of this week's show. A big thanks to our very special guest, Rich Harvey. Make sure that you don't miss a single episode of Realty Talk or Bushy's Get Invested podcast. They are both delivered to you each and every week, and you'll do that by subscribing to The Property Hub now on your favourite podcast player or wherever you are listening to or watching the show. Also, join the conversation anytime on Facebook at The Property Hub Collective. Very easy to find. Thanks to our supporters and content partners, Realty, BMT Tax Depreciation, KnowHow Property Finance, Get Rare Property and Apiro Marketing. I'm Kevin Turner, and on behalf of Bushy and The Property Hub team, we look forward to seeing you again next week.